My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. He took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" So they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your fathers and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought forth his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many years have you lived?" So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered. Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones.
Hello, boys. It's so good to have you visit me today. I wish your father could be here as well, but he's a very busy man. I'm still amazed to think that he has given me two fine grandsons like you. When I thought he had been killed by wild beasts more than 20 years ago. I know you probably are expecting to play some games and want to go out and look at the new lambs in the flock. But today, I hope you will humor an old man and sit here with me as I tell you a story. You like stories, don't you? Right. This is the story of our family and how we came to live here in Goshen, Egypt. Come, come, come. Oh, my bones are creaky. Your father did not grow up in Egypt. You know that, don't you? He grew up far away to the north, many hundreds of miles, near another great river, not the Nile that you know. He grew up near the Euphrates in a place called Haran. And that is where your great-great-grandfather lived before God told him that he should leave his family and friends and move on to another place. And he showed him that that place was the land of Canaan. Our family has come to call that land the Promised Land because God promised that it would be ours one day. That is where your great-grandfather Isaac was born and grew up. And it is where I also was born and spent much of my life. This land of Goshen here is wonderful for our flocks. There is always pasture and a lot of water for them. But it is flat, and I miss the hills of Canaan. But they are very far away across the desert, and it would be a difficult trip for an old man like me to make now. But when I think of that promised land, I remember the promises that the God of our fathers has made to us to bless our family. He promised my grandfather Abraham that his descendants would number more than the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore. And he also promised to bless us and to bless those who bless us. And that through us, through our people, all the peoples of the earth would one day be blessed in a special way. We have a long way to go before we number more than the stars of the sky. But we begin to understand now what he meant when he said he would bless those who bless us. You see, your father Joseph, when he was young, came to Egypt just as a poor foreign slave. But because of the wisdom that God gave to him, he eventually was placed in a position of great power. And he was able to save not only our people, but the people of Egypt and many other peoples around it. And he was able to bring our family back together again. God has been wonderful in blessing our family. And I, of all people, know that it is not because of anything that I have done. I have made many mistakes in my life. And as I have grown older, I have come to wonder how things might have been if I had been more faithful in listening to God and trusting Him than in trying to plot and manipulate people so that things would go the way I wanted them to. You see, I am called Israel now, but the name that I was given at my birth was Jacob. And it, in our native language, it's not nearly as nice a name as Israel. Israel means one who wrestles with God. That sounds wonderful. Jacob means something like a person who grabs you by the heel. Would you like someone to grab you by the heel? I didn't think so. But I was that type of person. I lived up to my name only too well. I was very clever. I wanted to be more important than my brother Esau. And I was not satisfied with the life that my father Esau led. I wanted something more. And I was willing to manipulate people in order to get it for myself. I guess you could say that I took after too many of the faults of my parents and grandparents, and not enough of their good qualities. You see, my grandparents, for instance, were always a bit too obvious in showing favoritism to their children. And that's why my father Isaac and his half-brother Ishmael always were jealous of one another. They never got along. Now, you would think that children would look at what their parents have done and learn a lesson, right? And say, we're not going to do that same thing. But it wasn't that way. We experienced the same problems in my family. Your great uncle Esau, my brother, he was a tough outdoorsman. He loved to hunt and he hated to spend time in tents. Well, I was a schemer. I liked to work with my mind more than my hands if I could. Esau, he was my father's favorite, and I was my mother Rebecca's. Now, although we were twins, Esau was born first, and therefore he had the right to the double inheritance in the case of our father's death. But when we were born, God had spoken to my mother, Rebecca, and told her that from her children, two nations would come, and the older would serve the younger. As time went on, my mother felt that she needed to help God along a little bit with that promise. And it seemed fairly easy to do, because my brother Esau, he had a quick temper, and he would sometimes make hasty, unwise decisions when he was upset. Why, one time I remember, he came to me, he had been out in the field for a long time, he was starving, and he said, oh, please give me a bowl of the stew you're making. I said, how about trading me the birthright for this bowl of stew? And he said, yes. How foolish of him. How unfair of me and unkind. But I wanted that birthright. And I was going to hold him to that bargain. As time went on, my mother and I played an even more devious trick on my father and brother. You see, There came a time when my father was very ill and he felt that he might not be long for this life. And he called to Esau and he told him to go out and hunt for some game and prepare his favorite meal. What he wanted to do was he wanted to use that opportunity to give Esau the special blessing that a father gives his firstborn son. But my mother overheard him telling him that. And she hatched a plan to have my father bless me instead of my brother. And it worked perfectly. You see, my father was blind, and some of his other senses were failing too. And he couldn't recognize me with the little disguise that I used. What we hadn't counted on was my brother Esau and how he would react when he found out what I had done. He swore that he would kill me as soon as our father was dead. I had not expected that. You know, my grandfather Abraham used to tell us, learn from my mistakes. Don't make the same ones yourself. Always consider the consequences of something you are going to do before you regret doing it. And Esau and I would say, yes, Grandpa. And then we would forget it and go out and do some little thing and get into trouble because of it. But this was no little trouble anymore. This was big trouble. My mother was really worried that Esau would carry out his threat to kill me. So she convinced my father to send me to our relatives where I might find a wife for myself from among them. And I was very happy to get away from Esau and his threats and begin the long journey hundreds of miles to the northeast to our relatives in Haran. My mother and I had thought we were helping God along with the promise that he had made to her about her sons. But we were only getting in the way of his plans. God had not said anything about a birthright. He had not said anything about the blessing of the firstborn. He had said the older would serve the younger. And now I have come to understand that that meant that the nation that would come from the older would serve the nation that came from the younger. As I prepared to leave alone on that trip to Haran, I looked forward to starting off with a clean slate and putting all my problems and mistakes behind me. But I was in for a surprise on that journey. One night, God appeared to me in a dream and spoke to me. Now, my grandfather Abraham and father Isaac had told me about God speaking to them and telling them the great promises he had in store for our family. But this was new to me. He had never spoken to me like this before. That was when God told me that my descendants would number more than the dust of the earth. When he spoke to grandfather Abraham, he talked about the stars of the sky too. But with me, it was just the dust of the earth. Perhaps it was because my grandfather spent more time looking up, trying to follow God. And I spent most of my time looking down, figuring out how I could get ahead on my own. When I finally arrived in Haran, I discovered that the habits which I inherited from my mother, Rebecca, ran deep in the blood of her relatives there. You see, I had thought of myself as a very clever fellow, a pretty good trickster. But I was the one who got tricked. Soon after I arrived there, I fell in love with my Uncle Laban's beautiful daughter, Rachel. And I agreed to serve him for 7 years, taking care of his flock for the hand of his daughter in marriage. The years flew by, and when our wedding day arrived, Uncle Laban produced his veiled daughter, as was the custom, and I married her. And only later did I discover that the daughter that I married was not Rachel, it was her older sister, Leah. I had been fooled. And I had to serve another 7 years for the wife that I really wanted. But that was another one of the major mistakes in my life, you see. I did not have just one wife. There were eventually four mothers of my children. And that produced no few problems among them, among us, and among our children. I eventually served my Uncle Laban for 20 years before I left to come back to the land of Canaan. And it was God who told me to leave, just as he had told my father Abraham many years before. On the way to Haran, when God had spoken to me at Bethel, he had also promised that he would bless all the nations of the earth through my own descendants. And he would take care of me, watch over me, and bring me back to my home safely. And at that time, I had decided to make a bargain with God. And the bargain was this. If God did everything that he promised, I would accept him as my God. And I would even give him 10% of everything that he gave me. That sounded pretty good at that time. But as time went on, I realized how foolish that was. Here was I, Yaakov, the fugitive from my brother's justice. What did I have to offer God? I had nothing. God had made all these wonderful promises to me. And I had the nerve to tell him if he fulfilled his promises, I would accept him. And I would give him back a small fraction of what he gave to me. How generous I was. Let me ask you a question. Would you be tempted to give me 100 shekels if I told you I was going to give 10 of them back to you? I hope not. That would be a very foolish bargain. But that is what I offer God. I did one good thing at Bethel. I built a memorial. And that's where I called it, Bethel, because it meant the house of God. That was where I had met God, and he had spoken to me. That was one of the good things that I learned from my grandfather Abraham. I would make memorials of the significant things that God did in my life. And you boys should learn to do that yourself. It's very good. It helps to give us perspective on what is important in this life and what is not so important. Well, here I was in Haran and God telling me to leave. And now I suddenly remembered this promise that I had made to God, the vow I had made to him and the promises he had made to me. And I decided to take him at his word, and I began to plan to get my whole family and my flocks together so that we could leave and go back. But I did not tell my uncle. He found out about it well after we had left. And he was very upset that we had not told him that we were going. He caught up with us 7 days later in Gilead. And he was even more angry then because he had discovered that the family idols were missing. And he suspected that we had stolen them. I knew nothing of this. And I told him to search all our belongings, and if anything is there or someone has taken it, you can take them. He He did not find anything in our belongings. And it was a good thing that he didn't, because I learned later that my wife, Rachel, had stolen them. She should never have stolen anything, no less those worthless idols. So I thank God that I still have my wife. Otherwise, my vow would have been for him to take her. Uncle Laban and I agreed to bring no harm to each other in the future. And we made another memorial that commemorated our agreement to go our separate ways and leave each other alone in the future. I named that memorial Galeed, because it was to serve as a witness to the decision that we had made. I made one more monument, memorial, on that trip to Canaan. And that celebrated another major event in my life. This one I called Peniel, the face of God. You see, we were now approaching the place where my brother Esau lived. And I became more and more afraid that when I met him, he would carry out his sworn oath to kill me. I prayed that day more than I have ever prayed in my life. I thanked God for all the blessings that he had given to our family. I begged him to protect us and to continue to carry out and fulfill the promises that he had made to me and to my descendants after me. And that night, I gathered all of my family and flocks, and I divided them into two groups. And I sent them apart across a stream that was nearby called the Jabbok. And I stayed on this side. I hoped that if Esau was to attack us, that some of my family would be able to escape. That night, I met a man, and I suspected that he was an angel. I wrestled with him all night long. I tried to get him to bless me and bless our family. I felt that we needed anything that we could get to save us from our brother Esau. And when the dawn broke, he finally did bless us. But he called me by a new name. He called me Israel. Man who wrestles with God. I now think that perhaps I was face to face with God himself. I have lived more than half of my life since that day. I learned a big lesson at that event. You see, I learned that if you want to receive a blessing from God, you receive it on God's terms, not your own. I didn't convince God to do anything he wasn't already eager to do that day. He could have easily snuffed out my life as touched my hip and made me limp. And by the way, that is why I limp on my left leg. That's what happened that day. I remember it well. The thing that I really needed to learn about blessings from God, the most important thing about them, is not the good things that God gives for us to enjoy, but the fact that he is there with us. And he is the Almighty God. Above all other powers the earth has ever known. That is the God we worship. And I pray that you boys will be able to come to understand that yourself. And that you will learn from the mistakes that we have made. That God will keep you from the troubles that are the brothers in our family have experienced for three generations because of jealousy and ambition. You see, our family relationships always seem to end up with people going their separate ways. Jealousy and mistrust and even hatred were no way to build good, healthy relationships. You would think that with all of the blessings that God had given us and the promises that He had made to us, it would have been an encouragement to us to bring us together. But we were not always interested in seeking God in His ways. Too often we did things on our own, and it brought us great grief. That is why I hope you will learn that lesson. Don't ever let jealousy and ambition and things like that come between you two boys. And the best way to ensure that that doesn't happen is to listen to God and understand what He wants you to do and who He wants you to be. The lessons that I learned that night at Peniel, they were lessons that served me well for the rest of my life, through trials and good times. I have often grieved over the pain that I have brought into the lives of my parents and my brother and my wives and my children because of my own stubbornness and selfish ambition. I have often wished I could undo the hatred and bitterness that I unwittingly and not so unwittingly sowed among my own family. But that is in the past. I should tell you that when my brother and I met, he had forgotten about his threats. And we were able to live in peace from then on. We were never very close to each other. But at least there was peace. That is not to say that everything was fine in my own family. Because your father Joseph and his 10 older half-brothers never got along. And it was to a large extent my own fault for showing favoritism, just like my grandfather, grandparents, and parents had done to their children. Your uncles were very jealous of the attention that I gave to your brother and the special little gifts that I gave him. They grew to hate him, and they wanted to get rid of him. And that's exactly how he ended up being a slave here in the land of Egypt. I sent him on an errand to them once, and they took him and sold him to slave traders who were headed down to Egypt. And then they created a story about how wild beasts had attacked him and eaten him to explain why he didn't return home. When they told me that story, I was brokenhearted. I lived for the next 20 years thinking that my beloved son, Joseph, was dead. And as I sit here now, an old man in a foreign land, far away from the home of my birth, I marvel at the God who is able to take 3 generations of my family, filled with discord and hatred and even murderous intent, and to bring about the promises and blessings that He had spoken of to my grandfather over 200 years before. And He has repeated to each generation since. How was I to imagine the conditions that would bring me here near the end of my life to the land of Egypt with all of my family around me? How could I have dreamed that my next to youngest son, Joseph, who I had given up for dead, killed by wild beasts, was really alive? And he was the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. And with that power, he had been able to save not only our own family, but the people of Egypt and many of the peoples around there in the time of the great famine and drought that we experienced not too long ago. Never forget where your family has come from. Never forget the faithfulness of God in caring for us through four generations now, and you are the fifth. And never forget the promises that He has made to us and to our descendants after us. And also, never forget that the land that He has promised us is not Goshen, this nice land we are living in now, but it is the land of Canaan. You know, I do like the name that your Pharaoh has given to your father, but it's too difficult for me to pronounce. I do like the way it sounds in our language, for it means that God speaks and He lives. And that is so true of how He has interacted with our family. If He has been able to bring about so much good, in spite of the way my family has often been faithless to Him and not followed in His ways when they should, how much more will He accomplish in generations to come? Because He does speak, and He has spoken, and He has said that He will bless all the peoples of the world through us, through our family. And He is one who always keeps His promises, and He will not fail to do so. I pray that you and your children after you will learn from the mistakes that your parents and grandparents have made, and you will learn to faithfully follow God yourselves and serve Him. Serve Him well. He is a God who simply wants us to believe in Him, to follow Him, to take Him at His word, and then He takes the little faith that we have and our muddling efforts and even our interference at times, and He brings forth from that a tapestry that is so wonderful that you cannot imagine it yourselves. He is such a wonderful God. Such an incredible God. I am so glad that He is my God, that He chose me. And He has chosen you too. He is your God. Don't forget that. He is the Almighty God above all powers the world has ever known. Look, here comes your father Joseph. I wish you could stay with us for a moment, but don't forget the things that I have told you today. And tell your father that I said he should take you to see the new lambs in the flock before he leaves. I promise that the next time you come, I will not be so long-winded. We shall play some games together. Goodbye, boys. Don't be long in coming back. I'll miss you.